Hi Smooches! On this episode, we're recommending romances with mental health themes. Whether the characters are explicitly diagnosed with a mental illness or living with a neurodivergence or are coded as such. If you have mental health recs you'd like to share, we would love to add them to our list. Let's get into it. Hi Meg!
Hi Liz!
How are you?
I am good. I just hung out with some of my friends from college, which was nice. And I think you are heavy into nesting. Is that right?
Yes. So right before this recording, we've been overhauling everything, like getting rid of stuff, taking it to donate, emptying out our insane closets because we're gonna need that storage space. And like we got cube storage organizers to put in the closets, which I don't know why we never did that before. We've always like used cube storage out and about, and it doesn't look great. It's not that functional, but in a closet to like create closet space, it's life-changing. But I'm looking at like two Tupperware bins and a basket of like the things that I have yet to figure out where they belong. But I moved, Eric moved my green velvet settee into my office. Great for midday napping. So I don't go into my bedroom and like it turns into a 2-hour nap. Yeah, and you were here and you took a giant monstera off my hands,
right,
which I was very sad to let go of, but
it's a gorgeous plant. And to be quite honest, in the pictures you sent, I thought it was the smaller of the two.
No.
So when I picked it up and it's like literally as tall as me and like,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe 5-6 feet wide, I was like, holy shit. Yeah.
Deanna took the other one, which was the original one. Yours was the propagation, but it did
thriving
real well. So
yeah, it's in my dining room now.
Yeah.
We also have your old spin bike in our living room.
Yeah, because we've been looking for a used Peloton for weeks because I love the app and I really wanted one as my push present. So it's a pre-push present because I won't be able to use it for like 6 weeks after your birth.
Yeah, I don't see you sitting on a hard saddle for a little bit.
So we got it and the shoes from a lovely couple for a very, very good price. So that was good
because they're fucking expensive. Peloton shoes.
You don't have to have special Peloton shoes. You have to have Look Delta cleats, which can go on lots of cycling shoes or maybe all cycling shoes. You just need the cleats.
Got it.
But they don't have to be Peloton brand shoes. So
are you gonna try it out pre birth?
I've already been using it a lot. Yeah, it's so fun. They have one mode, which I didn't have access to this before I got the actual bike, that's like a video game. So you turn up the resistance to switch lanes and you turn it down to switch to the other lanes, and it gives you like beats to hit, and there are parts where it says to accelerate to charge up the points that you can get, and it just looks very cool. And
I love gamifying stuff.
Yeah, it's so fun. So
speaking of gamifying, you had some ideas about Ice Planet Barbarians this weekend.
I did. I think Ice Planet Barbarians should be, and you and I are of the same mind, it should be an HBO series that fucks.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
I think that the blue people technology is wasted on Avatar.
I agree.
And I think that it would make a great video game. So this is my concept. And I tweeted about this.
It's very good.
The game would start with, and I don't have to worry about, like, Ruby Dixon, if you work out a deal with PlayStation or any other console provider, any developer, based off of this idea, that's fine because it's your IP. Just, you know, like thank me in the credits or something. But like
You
the
just want to
game
play it
existing.
so bad
Yeah.
you don't care.
Yeah. So what it would be is it would start out with the first book setup of the backstory, the abducted alien women, the crash landing, and then you get a tutorial of how to use the controls by gathering resources in the ship that you need to go outside and explore with. So basically, you're playing as Georgie in the
Georgie,
beginning.
right?
So I'm not sure if like you if it would be better to like you play as Georgie the whole time, which would make sense for the setup
The
because I
first
have like a
iteration,
yeah.
yeah.
So let's say you play as Georgie and you go out into the world and you meet Vectol and you have to go on quest to get food, to learn how to survive, to deepen your relationship with your mate. And then as the game progresses, you start to unlock the stories of other tribe members and dealing with their resonances, and you can help them with things like crafting a gift for their mate or gathering gossip from a villager. You can help Malak make medicines. So it would be like part dating sim and part task manager and like farming sim, which is really popular. So basically like Animal Crossing or Disney Dreamlight Valley, but Ice Planet Barbarians. And then you would get cutscenes that fuck.
Yes, that's what
Very
we
important. So yeah, and I just think like it would be cool, like you could learn skills like how to hunt and get points from the hunting, or tanning hides, or sewing leather bikinis.
Or starting to like cultivate gardening type
Yes,
things.
cooking different meals. So like you could cook with Stacy to experiment, and Stacy could send you out to gather specific ingredients.
And I think there should be some like hunting things where you're like hunting. What is it, Malax? I
No,
can't remember.
Metlax are the creatures. You
Metlax.
don't hunt them.
Yeah.
Divesti, you hunt.
Visty. Yes.
Yeah.
Metlax are like the stinky, furry, like white guys.
The indigenous people of the ice planet who don't get any respect from the Saqui. And then Malak is the healer.
Oh, Malak is the here.
Yeah.
That's right. Metlek. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I
So
got it
then in
now.
later iterations, it could be other characters' point of view. You could do Ice Home over on the
I think
beach.
doing Kiros would be especially interesting because then like you have to go to like the old ship and you're like learning how to get like language installed and all that stuff.
Yeah, games like The Last of Us, which I've never played, but I love the show. I know that they switch POVs pretty frequently. Like you start out as Joel's daughter, then most of the game you play as Joel, and then you play as Ellie. So you could start off as Georgie, and then when Georgie's main arc gets completed, you could switch characters.
That'd be super fucking fun. I love to play that.
So yeah, I'm putting that out into the universe for free. Like if no one's thought of that, you should think about it.
That's great. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, I've been talking for a long time, so I would love if you would start first
Yeah,
with what we're
so
talking about.
instead of talking about one particular book today, we're going to talk about recommendations of things that we've read, either together or separately, that have mental health, mental illness representation in them, and that we loved or enjoyed to like a varying degree, and what's so great about them and what's represented.
Would you say that your picks are all stated in the text what the mental health rep is, or are some of them just coded that way, or you feel like it'd be useful for people interested in that topic?
I tried to stick to ones where it is explicit in the text. There are a lot that I feel I could diagnose
Yeah.
that are not explicitly stated that would go on and on and on. I think one of them, which is actor A.G. Brown, I don't know if, I can't remember if that's explicit or not. That's one of my like tertiary recs. So the other ones, yeah. How about
Okay.
you?
I have three recs, and only one of them is explicit. The other
Okay.
two are, one is implied with the term, and the other one is just like, it's a series, and I feel like the themes have to do a lot with like managing mental health, but no specific illnesses or diagnoses or just, conditions are mentioned.
So, do you
As
want
far
to
as
go
I can remember.
first?
Now I want you to go first.
Okay. So my first one is definitely mental health representation. And it is coded as romance. I found it in the library via like the app, it being available now and in the romance category. When I read it, I was a little unsure if it really was true romance. But it's Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. You heard of this one
I
before?
have. I can picture
Gail
the cover.
Honeyman. And so yeah, it is labeled as a romance, and I think that technically that can be the case. It wasn't explicitly a romantic relationship to me. Like it to me, it very much could have been friendship. That said, it was an excellent book about overcoming childhood trauma, and dealing with repressed memories, and phew, just like the bravery that it takes to overcome a lot of that stuff. So it was extremely interesting. I listened to the audiobook. It was great. And it is, there is some like verbal abuse that happens on page, and that we see some really horrible stuff via flashback too. So it can be triggering for sure.
Got
So
it.
I would want people to be careful about that. But it is what I really love about it is that it's someone who struggled with the environment and circumstances that they are in, their own mental health, but it has like a triumphant, satisfying, happy ending. And I feel like that is what is sort of difficult about mental health rep in books is that I often feel like it doesn't super do an accurate job. Where it emphasizes the suffering a little too much and not enough about like the overcoming and like the living with. Does that
I
make sense?
absolutely, yeah, I definitely pick that up. Do you have Duke by Default on your list?
I don't.
Okay. I had it on my list and then took it off because we've talked about it so much, but Duke by Default is one of those books that does a good job of showing living with, because the heroine has ADHD and it pretty much is self-diagnosed, trying to figure out how to cope with that and making like big changes in her life because of it. So,
Gosh, it's been so long since I read that, but I loved that one.
yeah. So I guess like my list includes it's mental health and like neurodivergence. Does
Okay.
neurodivergence fit into mental health, into the conversation of mental health?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I was recently looking at a discussion, and I have not done a ton of research on this, so I'm not the expert. But about like mental illness versus neurodivergence and how there's an overlap, but that like often under the umbrella of neurodivergence, the more frequently occurring mental illnesses like anxiety and depression don't often fall under that umbrella. And I don't know if that's hard and fast, but it was just like a social media kind of discussion that was happening about that.
And I do see with things like ADHD conversations from people who have it about it co-occurring with autism spectrum disorder, and within ADHD having things like rejection sensitive dysphoria. So it does seem like mental health plays into it. So my pick has to do with a neurodivergence that is implied but not explicit. And the book is The Theory of Attraction by Delphine Dryden. So it is about a rocket scientist and his neighbor, and she's also in the sciences. It's a building where like everyone kind of works at this university in some science field. So I guess it gives like Big Bang Theory vibes. Having not really watched that show, it seems like that. And he is, his name is Ivan. Her name is Camilla, and she is, it's all from her perspective. So that's one thing about the representation that I would hesitate to say, like, this is great representation, even if I knew more about autism spectrum disorder, because it's all from her perspective of him. But someone in the book refers to him as borderline autistic, and he's definitely coded to me as being on the spectrum, and he has to try to charm a bunch of people at this gala coming up so that he can get funding for his research. And he talks to his neighbor about how he can be better at social things. So he doesn't really understand why he has to waste time with some of the niceties. He gets really blunt and to the point when they go out and socialize to practice some of the skills that she's trying to demonstrate to him. He will like get to the point really quickly and be like, well, that's what the person really wanted to talk about, even though they weren't coming out with it. And also he is a dom, so he introduces her to BDSM scenes, and he is very, very good at it, and the scenes
Sure, I
are
mean, he's
very
super
hot.
perceptive.
And it, yeah, it's definitely presented as his, the way that he observes people has helped him become a good dominant. So it's sexy, it's a quick read, and there's a character who's definitely neurodivergent coded. I would want someone who is on the spectrum to let us know what they thought of the representation. It would have been nice to get his point of view so that we could see more of how he sees himself.
That sounds really interesting. I'm into that one. I know you had thought about talking about Kiss Quotient. We've talked about it a
So
few
much.
times on this pod. And I think that the author, Helen Huang, her story really resonates with a lot of women who get diagnosed with autism generally much later in life because there's a lot of masking and a lot of like compensating that goes on with it. And that was her experience. And so she's like writing from that perspective. Kiss Quotient was amazing. The next book in the series is The Bride Test, where our hero has autism. He doesn't quite mask it like the heroine in the series does. So it's a more apparent, it's more like visible. And I had less enjoyment of that one. I think just because the power dynamics with his bride being a single mother and an immigrant was like a little, I wasn't totally comfortable with that one. The third one, though, is The Heart Principle, which has a violinist named Anna Sun, and the character that is Kai's brother, Kwan, and she is struggling with autistic burnout. And it does make the book less of a like fun, lighthearted read because you're reading about something horrible that someone is going through. She's been masking for so long that she just has no like life force left, you know. So there's a pretty dark period for her. But at the same time, she's like discovering her own needs during the book, finally learning to meet those, recovering from her autistic burnout, finding love, and finding a lot of professional fulfillment too. So it's like it's a good story, but it is, again, like my first recommendation. It's like you have to be in the mental space to be able to read about someone going through a really sort of depressive episode and be okay with that. But I love Kwan so much, and I loved this book.
Okay, so my next one, going back to Ice Planet Barbarians,
Yes.
I want to talk about Barbarians Beloved, and this is one of the later books in the Ice Planet series, and it takes place both in present day where the series is and 8 years before when they crash landed. So this one is
Okay.
about Ariana. If you read the first book or the first few books, she was the one who was always crying. And people got really upset about it because it's like, hey, yeah, we're in a bad situation, but like we're all kind of taking it on the chin. And you find out in her book with Zelaya that the reason she was struggling so hard is because she was going cold turkey off her anti-anxiety medication
Oh,
because she
okay.
was being treated for anxiety on Earth, and then suddenly she's thrust into this insane situation with no resources for how to deal with it without her medication. And as someone who has weaned off medication and known how difficult it is to wean off of medication, and also had moments where suddenly my insurance changes and they no longer cover the medication that I've been on for years.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Which I can't remember if I just like ate the cost and got the medication, or if I just went cold turkey off that particular one. But either way, not a good experience. So it's in present day in the book, Ariana is pregnant with her and Zelaya's second child. And Zelaya is currently at the Ice Home tribe on the beach, helping them get set up. So he's very far away. He's a dragon ride, a day's dragon ride away, you know? Like, that's a long flight. And she can't very well, like, get on the phone and tell him, hey, the baby's coming. So you gotta hop on the dragon's back and fly back. You have to send a messenger. So, she's dealing with the anxiety of this baby might come, and the person who helps me cope with my anxiety the most and who understands what I need to be reminded of, you know, like to breathe and to visualize different things, is not here. So then you see in flashbacks to their early relationship how he helped her adjust to the planet and to being without her medication and find coping skills for her anxiety.
Aww. I
Yeah.
was worried that we weren't going to see like the onset of their relationship and what that looked like. So it's done via flashback.
Yeah, I can't remember because it's been a while since I read it if we see the resonance or if it's just like they've resonated and now she's kind of dealing with it. I think we do see the resonance because I believe that she talks about waking up on the ship and like what the fuck is happening.
What
So, yeah,
the
I kind of want to revisit that one to remind myself of that, but I remember feeling like I understood her so much and that would be how that is how people respond to people struggling with anxiety in real life. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with this person? Anxiety, bitch. It's like, it's no joke.
My gad girlies know.
Yeah. So.
This is on topic, but not in the vein of what we have been doing. I have been reading a lot of contemporary romance lately, and I love the prevalence of people going to therapy, getting counseling, dealing with their stuff. I think that is so important to normalize and to have visible in media. Something that makes me a little hesitant about it that I've been seeing somewhat lately is this sort of arc that is, okay, they meet, you know, the attraction happens, there's a dark moment that's tied to some like perceived trauma or character flaw or whatever, and then they're apart for a time during which the flawed quote unquote character goes and gets counseling. They get fixed, you know, quote unquote. And then like now they get back together and everything is perfect and they're happy. Have you noticed this pattern or am I just being jaded?
I am trying to think of a book where I've seen that. And I know in my book, I had to actively avoid that in revisions. Avoid, like, oh, it's all better now. Yeah, I can't think of anything, but I believe you if you're perceiving that.
Yeah. I guess I want there to be a lot of visibility of people going to therapy. I personally benefited from going to therapy so much for so many years. But the sort of idea that I'm gonna fix my problems real quick and then like I'll be
Yeah.
all good. So
It is
I guess
not
I
a
just
quick
no.
fix. I have spent thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I just actually this past week started seeing a somatic experiencing practitioner,
Ooh,
which I
what's
don't know
that?
if you're familiar with this, but their focus is more so on the trauma and anxiety that you hold in your body.
Okay.
Sort of like this text can be troubling, but the body keeps the score kind of stuff. And seeing a new therapist for the first time in a long time, I was like, oh, damn, I gotta go back to square one. It just made me appreciate the work that I've done with a therapist that I've been seeing for like 4 years. So,
Definitely.
yeah, I just wanna like, I love that there's more visibility of going to therapy. I want realistic expectations attached to that.
Absolutely.
So that's a little sidebar.
I think that that's a good thing for people to keep in mind that, like, you got to give it time, you know?
Yeah.
I think that there probably are people who quit therapy because it's like, I mean, I'm just talking about old shit. It's not really helping.
Sure, and if you're having an issue with like adjustment disorder or just something that's very like situational, then that makes sense. But if you have
Yeah.
something that's longer term, then it is a longer term solution too. So my last recommendation is going to be your book that we just mentioned. I do have some runners up that I would like to quickly run through after we talk about this,
Okay.
just FYI. But I mean, I would be totally remiss if we didn't talk about How That Makes You Feel by Elle Diaz.
Okay.
Not only is our heroine a therapist, she's a clinical social worker, but she lives with borderline personality disorder. And I love the way the character talks about it. Because when she talks to the hero about it for the first time, she's like, don't Google it. It's not a fun time for anyone. And that sort of brings up this idea of like the preconceptions that come with certain mental illness labels. And I could go on and on about my feelings about labeling things. I think it can be great and it can be terrible.
Yeah.
But like you see her living a full recovered life with it. And like recovery meaning not that it's like gone, I'm healed, I'm cured, but it's like I have a full life with everything that I need in it. And I manage symptoms of this mental illness. And she's awesome and fun. And she encourages the hero to also get therapy, which is
Which he needs.
yes, very much so.
Yeah. I think
Yeah.
everyone needs it.
I
Thank
wanted
you
to ask you a question about that too,
for
which is
sure.
that there are not a lot of borderline personality disorder characters in popular media, and I think like a big one that I think of is My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Did you draw any inspiration from that when you were writing this character?
So, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is one of my favorite shows. And I started writing this book before I started watching that show and before Rebecca got her diagnosis on the show. And I was expecting it. I mentioned this when we were talking about the book with RM Virtues a few episodes back. And I remember even before she got that diagnosis, feeling like I want to capture in book form what Crazy Ex-Girlfriend makes me feel, how it is dark in so many ways and absurd in so many ways, and you see really fucked up characters, but you're rooting for them. And that's what I wanted to portray. I think that my characters have more of like the dark stuff in their past, and it's
Mm-hmm.
more that they're looking at it. So we're not seeing them actively be on their bullshit the way that Rebecca is through most of the show. If you haven't seen the show, Rebecca Bunch basically picks up and moves to California because she runs into her summer camp boyfriend in New York while she's in the middle of a depressive episode, and she decides, if I move to California and get this guy back, everything in my life is going to be better. And then she engages in some very unwell behaviors for the next few years, escalating to a borderline personality diagnosis. So, I drew a lot of inspiration from that depiction of women behaving badly because of mental health struggles, not because they're bad people. And also, I just like y when you see people with BPD, you don't see them in romances, you see them in thrillers and horror movies. And you don't see them as the heroes, you see them as the villains. So that was, you know, not to like, I'm trying to be careful when I talk about the book to not like insert too much authorial intent. Like, I want people to make their own conclusions about the book. But to me, like, I wanted to see someone with this scary personality disorder be the heroine. And like, we could unflinchingly look at shit that was objectively bad that she did and still think that she deserves to find love.
Yeah. And I think that is the case for most of us, whether or not we have some kind of diagnosis, is like we've all done things that are not good and we're not proud of. And that doesn't make us any less worthy.
And a big caveat to that is if you are in a relationship with someone who, whether it's because of their mental illness or not, is hurting you in any way, like you don't need to say, oh, but it's because they're mentally ill and stay with them. Like, there are different situations. There are situations where you can work through things with a partner, and there are situations that are unsafe for you and you should get out. And there are situations like in my book where my heroine is divorced for a reason. Like, she was not abusive toward her partner, but he was pretty done putting up with her bullshit.
And I think that's something that you show really well in the book is that like you can have understanding towards someone because you know of the situation that they're dealing with an illness or otherwise, and that they can still be accountable for the hurt that they've caused. And I think that Camila is like a really great example of that. It's like she has made a lot of efforts to be accountable for things that she has done that she is not happy with. And while at the same time understanding that like she was under an extreme situation, like it was a situation that most people would have a very hard time with. You know what I mean? So she has like an understanding toward herself and why she went through the things that she did, but she's still trying to make it right.
Which you should. So,
Yeah.
was that your last recommendation
Yeah,
before
I did my
your like
top
mid one?
three.
Okay.
So what do you have?
That my last one, and then I have an honorable mention that we've talked about previously. My last one is the Heroine Complex series by Sarah Kuhn. I don't know if it's Kuhn or Khan. I'm so sorry. I should have looked it up. But that one is about women in San Francisco who are superheroes and have like a superheroing agency. And
Awesome. I love that.
it's like a portal opened in San Francisco. Demons came through it. This happened years ago. Some people got powers. Annie Chung changes her name to Evita Vice, which is more of a superhero name, and she becomes a celebrity hero of San Francisco. And I don't even remember what her power is because her power is so irrelevant to what she actually does. She gets this power that she thinks is pretty lame. And then she's like, well, fuck, I'm still gonna like train to be this badass fighter. So she's basically like not super powered, but a vigilante, but like keys to the city kind of person.
It's like a being a superhero was like 25 to 50% branding.
Yes, exactly that. That's exactly the vibe of the series. And her best friend, Evie Tanaka, is her personal assistant. Evie actually does have a pretty intense
Badass
power, but she hasn't
superpowers.
used it, and hers is related to conjuring fire. So throughout this book, Annie, Evie, and Evie's sister, Bee, are all dealing with coming into their own as superheroines and their friendships, and each of them has a romance. So these books are romances or like continuing chapters within romantic relationships. But they could also be read as women's fiction, I guess, if that label is even still a thing for the sequels. And the reason that I have it on this list is because they deal with themes of grief and identity and of burnout and managing the pressures put on you by family, by society, by yourself. And I don't think that at any point anyone is explicitly diagnosed with anything or mentions a diagnosis, but I think that this series is a good depiction of dealing with your mental health as a woman in a very high pressure career and with really intense relationships and kind of complicated family structure. So that's why I included in this list. I think it's kind of a stretch, but I also think that it's a very good series that you
I
should
love the
read.
premise. That sounds amazing. I want demons to give me superpowers.
So every once in a
I'm
while, these
joking. I don't want
demons,
any demons around.
yeah, I know how you feel about demons.
Other than our virtue sleep paralysis
That
demon.
one's fine.
You can come by.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, demon. Hey. And I have one honorable mention, which is Chick Magnet by Emma Barry, who we had on, and she was delightful. And the hero deals with depression very overtly throughout the whole book. And we talked about veterinarians and the suicide
Compassion
rate among them
fatigue.
and compassion fatigue. So that is, since we mentioned it, I didn't want to, since we did an interview with her, I didn't want to mention it again, but I think that it deserves to be mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. And that's how I feel about All the Feels too, which is it the second or the third?
It's
The
the
second
second.
of the Spoiler Alert series by Olivia Dade. And the heroine is a former ER therapist, but the hero, he lives with ADHD, super successful, but there are challenges that come with that. My husband lives with ADHD, and these two characters, for a lot of reasons, one of which being that my husband is a Leo, they reminded me of each other like a lot. And I just felt like it was like really compassionate about capturing the way different people's brains work. And I love that. I have some other feels about the book, but the mental health rep I feel really good about in
Yeah.
that book.
We did an episode, a mini episode about, I don't think it was even that mini, but
No.
we talked about that one when I caught up to where Meg was in the series.
Yeah. The other one that I wanted to mention is the Brown Sisters series from Talia Hibbert. There's a lot of stuff going on in those books, whether it's like different types of like physical disabilities. The third one is actor Age Eve Brown, and I don't think it's explicitly mentioned that she is on the autism spectrum, but she has some struggles that I think would resonate with people who have had those kinds of challenges. But I mean, I love all three of those books. It's amazing. And my last one is like, if you're really interested in mental health and like the mental health sort of industry, it's interesting to read Off the Clock by Ronnie Warren. It's the first book in the Pleasure Principle series. It's like two therapists who have like had a previous relationship, and now they're working like in a residential sort of celebrity mental health care facility. And as someone who has like taken a mental health care ethics course, I found it rife with a lot of things to talk about and think about. So that's like sort of a deep cut. It's not like a top tier recommendation, but if you're like a kind of a nerd, you might enjoy it.
Yeah. Ronnie Lauren, we established as a therapist, right?
Is
Is
that
or
right?
was. I think so, because we read one of her books, The One You Fight For, I think.
Right. The series about survivors of a school shooting.
Yeah.
Woo, those are tough.
Yeah, that whole series, I've only read the one, but I think that it's pretty safe to
Oh
say that,
shit.
like,
You're right.
PTSD themes throughout.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
totally forgot about this. So she has a master's in social work and spent years as a mental health counselor, and now she's a full-time writer.
Yeah.
So she has some experience. I didn't take the course from the social work perspective, and maybe those like sort of ethics are a little bit different. It seemed a little bit like a gray area to me,
Yeah.
but it was an interesting book to read off
Maybe
the
it's something
clock.
that you just wanted to like explore the taboo of outside.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be so curious. I haven't read Off the Clock.
Yeah. It's in this Goodreads description, they talk about her as an author of loving on the edge novels, and I'm like, yeah, that seems appropriate.
Yeah.
So I've only read the first one. I haven't read any of the subsequent ones, so I don't know where they go, but yeah,
Yeah.
interesting.
I've been meaning to read more Ronnie Lauren on my endless TBR. I have a few books of hers that I've been like.
Yeah. Cool. This is fun.
Yeah. So those are some books with depictions, some romances specifically, with depictions of mental health, explicit or implied.
Ooh, and they can also, readers, listeners, you can go to our episode about Highly Suspicious and Unfairly Cute by Talia Hibbert. Our hero in that lives with OCD, manages it really well, is very successful. And we love him. So
He's such a good boy.
he's just a good little
Yeah.
puppy. So if you wanted to go back and listen to that episode, please do.
Yeah, and if you have more mental health romance recs, whether they really hit the mark for you or they miss the mark somehow, I am always looking for more of those to read, because I think that the books that I've read that have the most overt depiction of mental health challenges are not romance. Like,
Yeah.
I could recommend 10 without even thinking that are not romances that I think
Same.
are good mental health depictions, and I would like to see more of that in romance.
Yeah. We get happy endings too.
Yeah. So I probably have a few more episodes before I'll be on maternity leave, and then you'll be in Meg's hands for a bit.
My sultry, sweaty hands. Well, they're
So
gonna love it.
yes, I am excited to be a listener for a bit. So you can find us on social media at the links that will be in the show notes. You can order my book that Meg so kindly spoke about. And yeah, just keep up with us. I'm doing a real bad job of managing the social media as I am heavy with child. That will likely continue. But yeah, we're around.
Sidebar related to like the medical model of like calling things illness and stuff. Have you heard the phrase like I've fallen pregnant? Like I've fallen
Yes.
ill?
Yes, I have heard that.
Isn't that weird?
It
Like, it
is
is weird to
weird.
me.
So, yeah, you can catch up with us on those places. You can email us. You can go to our website, Make It Already Pod, and you can catch up on back episodes. Even if I haven't been posting about them on Instagram, they are there.
It's fine. Social
It's
media is
fine.
fake. Money
It
is fake.
is.
Everything's fake.
So, until next time, air kisses.